Hey, hey, Sarah Wilson here.
This is Andrew Wilson.
All right. Yes, we're still here. Yes, it's been a minute. And yes, it's a new year. Huzzah.
Yeah. It's 2022 and we still don't have flying cars or flying houses.
I'm super disappointed. I don't have that like screen that pops up in the middle of the air so I can call someone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also thankful that's not here.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably for the best.
We're talking about radon today, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about, real quick, what we want to do better about being podcasters.
Yeah. You know, maybe less pauses, awkward pauses, like the one that you just heard.
It's fine.
From Andrew.
It's only awkward if you have a problem with silence.
I don't have a problem with silence, but something like, you know, silent podcast silence, I think, is longer than real life silence.
Okay. I want to get better at paying attention because sometimes I have an idea and I look into it to make sure I'm correct. And then Andrew keeps talking and then asks me a question and that he didn't hear. Like I missed the last few minutes and we're the only two in the room. Radon.
I need to be more interesting. My gosh, I'm such a boring person. Listening to myself, I'm like, oh, this is awful. Who is this guy? That's not Andrew. Because it's not. So being more...
he's just awkward being, with the mic.
Being more myself. Well, yeah, because it's like, Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Is it because we're leaning into each other and we're about 6 inches apart?
Yeah, because we've got like this broke setup with like a Bob Barker microphone. That's what it is. On a stand. We don't have headphones or, you know, actual podcast mics.
We're literally 6 inches from each other.
Yeah, we're like two radon tests, you know, that are, you know, between 4 and 8 inches away from each other. See how I tied that in to radon being our...
Keep rolling. Keep going.
Yeah. So.
So I wanted to know, because I know radon causes lung cancer, but, and I also know we have a lot of clients who just don't get radon tests. And a handful of realtors that will get a radon test with every home inspection. So I was like, well, how bad is the cancer that radon causes? Because radon causes lung cancer, right?
Yeah.
So number one in deaths for cancer, leukemia. Number two, lymphoma. Number three, lung cancer due to radon.
That's number three.
By a long shot. Number four is liver, and then it significantly drops down to esophagus and ovarian, like all those. So, okay.
So man, it's in the top three.
It's number three.
Yeah.
And literally only a few hundred foot behind number two.
It's basically tied with number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the second leading cause of lung cancer.
And it's super preventable.
Yeah. It's the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. So if you're... a non-smoker, this is the biggest risk. And so, you know, what do you want to do? You want to talk about like what radon actually is? Maybe we need to get the basic.
That's your field.
Radon, it's a naturally occurring gas. It's the byproduct of decaying uranium in the soil. Uranium breaks down. It decays. It has a really long half-life. 4 billion years, 4.5 billion years. So from the creation of the earth, essentially, you know, now the radon is breaking down. And when it breaks down, it forms radium. That's one of the products of it. And then radium is going to decay. And then radium decays into radon-222. So it's number three in the chain. Radon has the shortest half-life of all of these. Being 3.8 days. So what happens with radon when it breaks down?
How does it get in your house?
It comes up through the soil.
Right, but if I have a cement slab.
Yeah.
Or basement. Yeah. Like my basement's completely encapsulated with cement.
Yeah, so.
How is it getting in there?
I mean, this is like subatomic stuff. So it's, these are
super
small
teeny tiny.
So it comes up through the ground. So that's easy enough to get through, right? Soil. But then any kind of cracking in a cement slab, micro cracks, you know, it's going to make its way through.
So micro cracks you can't see with your eye.
Right. And, you know, the chances of there being a crack in your slab, there's going to be some, like a shrinkage crack or something.
Yeah, foundation, the earth moves.
Yeah. And concrete is also, it's not impenetrable. It's porous.
Porous.
Not Boris.
Porous.
Not porridge.
Like a sponge.
Right. And so that's the predominant way that it comes in through the house. But it's not the only way. It can come in through air pressure changes. So any kind of air leakage that you have in your house, it can come in that way. And you have air leakage pretty much everywhere.
Vents.
Outlets, wall outlets.
Oh, wow.
If go and feel, especially if you're in a cold climate right now.
Yeah, you can feel air.
You feel air coming through. Yeah. So, and you know, as pressure changes, you know, the air in the house, air from the outside is drawn into the house, comes in through your heating system. It can come in through your water. A smaller percentage comes in through water. But if you've got radon in your water source or nearby water, particularly if you're on a well and groundwater and radon has gotten into the groundwater, it can actually come out through the water through your faucets and be released into the air. Again, probably the smallest percentage of all the ways that it comes into the house, but it can come in through that way. So there are so many ways that it can make it into your house.
And it's preventable.
It's controllable.
It's controllable.
Yeah, you can't really prevent...
No, I meant the cancer is preventable. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
The radon's not, but you can mitigate it with a system. A couple of grand, right?
Yeah. It varies. Okay. You know, $2,000 up to $5,000 and above.
I guess depending on the size of the house.
Depending on the size of the house, depending on, you know, if you have to drill in through the slab or whether you can go in through the dirt in the crawl space, if you're using a soil depressurization system or a fan that you just put underneath a vapor barrier of a crawl space to bring up the air out of the soil and just pump it up through a vacuum and it just goes out the roof.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that's the most common way is the soil depressurization system that just draws the air out of the soil.
So it doesn't matter what kind of foundation your home is in, you need to get tested.
Yes.
And does it matter if like the area is a low radon area?
No. Because, you know, even the EPA, you know, there's a map on the EPA's website where you can see what areas are the highest risk and the lowest risk. Like the whole map of the United States is yellow, red, and orange. And even in the areas that are yellow, for example, upstate South Carolina is low risk. But for whatever reason, it doesn't show up on the EPA website. It says yellow, low risk. But there's like a pocket in Fort Mill, Indian Land, Tiga K, where there's a lot of radon mitigation going on there. But you wouldn't know it looking at the EPA map because it's just all yellow. It's low risk. So there are going to be little pockets. And radon is also, it behaves erratically. You're going to have spikes. So throughout the course of a year, you might have very low radon activity, but then a few months or even, even years where it could spike and be elevated before coming down, just depending on the uranium content, the state of its decay, and, you know, other conditions of the house, how well it's ventilated and so on. So there's just so many factors.
Yeah. And if you're in a multi-family unit or a multi-office unit, they can be tested too, because those can have radon as well. The size of the structure or how many rooms doesn't lower the risk.
Yeah, that's true.
It just alters the testing and mitigation.
Yeah, if you're like in a high-rise condo, you know, with hundreds of units in it, you can still get tested. The short-term test probably isn't the best way to go. You can get a rough idea because technically, like the whole building has to be shut down to do it. But that's not realistic. So the best way is going to be to do a long-term test of 90 days. And so we can talk about that, like testing periods, because I think people need to know if they're going to do the testing themselves, what options there are in terms of time. Like how long does it take to test for radon? there's short-term and there's long-term. Short-term is basically 2 to 7 days. These are going to be the like when you're doing a real estate transaction, you get a radon test. So most people are familiar with the 48 hours.
Right.
And so if 48 hours is the bare minimum. And
right, but we've had issues where it was touched, and so we had to go in and leave it in there longer because because it was going to be, you know, functioning because it was like an office. And so people are going to have windows open, doors open, and so we had to leave it there still for a long period of time and just pray people just stop touching it, you know?
Yeah.
But you can get a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, the kind of the way the protocol is, closed building conditions, so that means leaving windows closed, not leaving doors propped open, just normal come in and out, and also not using bathroom fans or kitchen fans excessively. You can use them a little bit, but not like leaving them on for long periods of time. And so you want to have the closed building conditions for 12 hours prior to starting the test. If you can't do that, if it can't be verified, or you don't have it under closed conditions for 12 hours, then you need to test for a bare minimum of 4 days instead of 2 days. So that's the workaround with that. If you can't keep closed building conditions for the duration of the test, like we just talked about multi-unit condominiums, if you're in a multi-unit condominium, it's impossible to keep the building under closed building conditions during a test. And so the way that you work around that is do a test for 90 days. 90 days does not require closed building conditions.
Nice. So you can just go about your business.
Yeah. So you get a home detector and test it for 90 days. And it doesn't matter if you're on the ground floor or if you're on the 12th floor. You have your own heating system per unit. And so that's one of the ways that it can come in. You know, much less likely that you're going to get radon to penetrate and make its way up to an 11th floor. But it can still happen. It can still come in through the water, like I said, or can come in through the heating system or any other kind of air leakage. It is possible, so it can happen. But yeah, 90 days, and you don't have to worry about the closed building conditions.
So yeah, this is a completely preventable cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Get tested. Even if you're on a very small, like if you're purchasing real estate and the due diligence period is small, or, you know, or almost non-existent, depending on who your realtor is and what they can do for you, get one after you move in.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, buying a home, the deal breaker shouldn't, in my opinion, this is totally subjective, but I wouldn't buy a home because it has radon. Let me rephrase that. It would not stop me to purchase a home because there's radon, because there's a mitigation system.
Mm-hmm. It's very effective.
Very effective. So it wouldn't, I would have no pause. I would just get the system.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get tested, it's irrelevant. Get tested.
Get tested. That's been the...
Oh my God, right?
That's been the... Yeah.
This is preventable. And it's the third leading cause of death in, you know, in cancers. So, and it's a spike too. It's not like, you know, one person dies and it's like, you know what I mean? Like there's a huge number. So
yeah, it's a legitimate threat.
Right. So don't skip it because you're trying to squeeze some money or, you know what I mean? Like it's cancer and it's your lungs and the fatality rate's high. So it's completely curable. And if you're a smoker, it's like it's even higher for you. So yeah.
And if you don't want
to, if you're a smoker, you probably don't care.
Yeah. If you're, I don't remember the statistic right off, but yeah, if you're a smoker, you know, not only are you susceptible to lung cancer, obviously from the smoking, but you still have the same risk for radon. So it's like you're getting double whammy. with testing though, you know, if you don't want to get the test during your due diligence period,
get it after.
You can either hire somebody to come in and do the test, or you can buy your own device and test it. And if you're going to go that route, there are lots of devices that you can get. Then it's just a matter of making sure that you place it correctly.
Do you need a report? For get the mitigation system?
Yeah, if you're going to get a mitigation system, then you need a report and you need results from a nationally certified radon measurement professional.
Oh, so okay. So if they test at home for themselves, it doesn't just test with any. That's why I was asking.
Okay.
So just get a tester.
Mm-hmm.
And if it shows radon, then call a professional.
Then call a professional.
Don't get a test. Yeah. Don't get a radon tester that's going to show its own report, because you're going to still need the certified licensed professional to come in and get it for you anyway. So save yourself money there and get a basic test. You don't need the snazzy one.
Yeah, because a radon mitigation company is not going to be able to use your results to warrant mitigation. Because even though different states have different regulations, but for example, you know, our state, North Carolina, they don't require certification to measure radon, but the EPA, there is federal rules in terms of mitigation. You have to be certified in order to do mitigation. So somebody who's a licensed mitigation contractor, they have to use their own results or the results of a third-party nationally certified measurement professional. Which is why I got the NRPP certification. Because if I come in and I take readings, then a mitigation company can use my readings. They don't have to use their own. But that's why you just get a basic test for you and then call up the mitigation company and they can come out and do confirmation testing so that they can go forward with their with the mitigation. Because they want to make sure that, you know, your device isn't defective.
Right.
It also very much matters the placement of the device, making sure that it's not messed with, the testing conditions, how long you're performing the test. There are just so many factors. And so that's why mitigation contractors have to be certified and use certified results.
Well, all right.
Yeah. What happens when you get your own tester? How do you then do your own testing? There's some basic rules, and you can go on the EPA's website and look up radon, and they've got...
Now, we have a bunch of rules that are super funny and thorough.
Some of them are funny.
At WS Inspect. I think it's... I don't know which rule it is.
Yeah, because January is National Radon Action Month, and so we made a few videos through the month of January talking about radon and how to do the testing. Yeah, go to WS Inspect on our Instagrams or Facebooks. And
I haven't been keeping up with Facebook.
Okay. I think it's been there. I've had people say, hey, we like watching your videos on Facebook. And I keep forgetting. It's like, oh, yeah, we have Facebook.
Okay. It is reel number three.
Hey.
Reel number three on the in reels. So, and I see a typo. Dang it. My A's and my Q, I
confuse D and L.
Yeah, the Q's right above the A, and apparently I just hit that instead. So. Whatever. Yeah, so you can test on your own.
Yeah.
Your takeaway, don't get the crazy expensive one, because if you have radon show up, you're going to need the guy to come in and do it, and he has the crazy expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep, you can get a test for somewhere between $150 and $200. Some are battery powered, some you plug in.
Or you can just save yourself that and just hire the professional to come in and do it for you the first time.
Yeah. It'll cost you a couple $100 to have the test done. those big fancy tests, like the $800 detectors, those you do have to be certified to buy. So not anybody can buy like the professional ones, but you don't need it.
Right.
And so you can just get a battery powered, like the Corinthium Home. We can put a link in there. It's battery powered. The batteries last 2 years, and you can set up a detector. It's this small little box, like the size of a small brick, and you can place it somewhere out of the way. But placement's going to be important. So with your own radon testing, put it in a room where people spend a lot of time. So, don't put it in like the spare bedroom that nobody uses.
Don't put it in the crawl space. Yeah, don't put it in your kitchen or in a cabinet or in a laundry room.
Yeah, you don't want to put it someplace where there's going to be high humidity.
Or in a bathroom. Don't put it in a bathroom.
Right, yeah, like a bathroom, like a kitchen. And also someplace that's going to have, you know, fans circulating. If you can put it in a room with a ceiling fan, you just don't want to use the ceiling fan very much, if at all. And you also don't want to, you know, leave... you know, if you're going to do a short-term test, you don't want to leave like your bathroom fan on for more than a few minutes. And you don't want to leave windows open and stuff. But if you're getting your own tests and time is not really of the essence at that point, do a test for at least 90 days. And then again, you don't have to worry so much about the closed building conditions thing, because that's just hard to do. For people that are living in a house.
Yeah, it's not realistic.
So yeah, do it for 90 days.
Unless you're shut in.
set it and forget it. Put it someplace where it's not going to be disturbed. Some of these come with like it will come like with a stand or something, or like a way to mount it. But just be careful, because you don't want to put it up against a wall. You don't want to put it on a wall. It needs to be,
20 inches?
20 inches off the floor. So you don't want to leave it on the floor. So
put like a foot away from the wall and you'll be fine.
It needs to be a foot, at least 1 foot away from the wall.
I think that's good.
Might be 3 feet from a wall, actually, now I'm thinking about it.
Google it.
I put it at least 3 feet from a wall, or a door or something like that. Like that goes to the outside. So. All right.
I think we've said all we needed to.
Okay. Follow the instructions.
Yeah. Do you think we left anything out?
No, I don't think so.
Have a good week.
We'll put some links for some tests. So.